In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be
the 10th caller right now at 800-636-1067 is going to win 2 tickets to see Kevin Hart at DAR Constitution Hall. It's the Kevin Hart Acting My Age Tour, Sunday, September 15th, couple of weeks out. DAR Constitution Hall, tickets on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events. Congrats to all of our winners this week and to caller 10 right now on the Fan. Let's get you the latest on the teams you care the most about in town, including the Nationals, who have called up Dylan Cruz and just took a series from the New York Yankees. All of our baseball coverage on the Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan against AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. With the latest on the Nats, Dave Jagler. It's blitz time. Jags, let's start with Dylan Cruz. He had his first hit, his first homer, his first multi-hit game, and his second multi-hit game. And he showed pretty well defensively in right field as well. Also stole a base. Otherwise,
ho-hum.
I need to see more.
Yeah, all good. Isn't it what we've been dreaming on to see he and James Wood go back-to-back in the lineup the other day? And, you know, you have Dylan hit a home run to start, and then Wood with a base hit and steals a base and scores a run. And, you know, Wood drives in a run the next inning with a couple of steals. Yeah, I mean, Cruz has brought he plays hard. I mean, just talking to the guys who watch him in the minor leagues, you know, whether it's, you know, 300 people in the stands or 30,000 in the stands, he has one gear. And you hope that rubs off on everybody. He's going to play, like Mike Rizzo likes to say, with his hair on fire. And so we've seen that in the first 3 games, and he clearly is getting a jump start. And, you know, when you look at some of the other notable Nationals who've been debuted, usually they start, you know, down in the lineup a bit, and then after a few games move up. I mean, he was hitting second in his first game, and now he's been lead off the next 2 games as he's back in there today against the lefty. So they've shown a lot of confidence in him, and with good reason.
Mackenzie Gore, couple really good starts in a row, Dave. Very encouraging. I mean, listen, this game humbles everybody. You're going to go through a lull where you're fighting it mechanically, or, you know, maybe you're tipping something. Who knows? But really encouraged the last couple starts. What's the difference when it's good versus when it's not for him?
Well, I think you talk about mechanically. I think that's kind of what they honed in on watching video, and it was a side session before 2 starts ago because he's had 2 good ones in a row, and it was before the start in Atlanta, where they really worked on him and trying to raise his arm angle. They felt that he had lowered his arm angle a little bit, and that was really affecting his command, because what you saw was that the walk numbers were just out of control for what he normally would expect, and that was driving up the pitch count. So the last 2 starts, I mean, you're talking about pounding the strike zone and being much more pitch efficient. We've been talking about Gore, even when he's been really good, just trying to get that pitch efficiency a little better so he can go deeper in games. So I think that's been huge. The other thing, Danny, is the utilization of the changeup. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a 3-pitch sequence when he faced Aaron Judge with a runner at third, 1 out. So basically, if the ball's put in play, there's going to be a run. They're playing the infield back. And he threw him all 3 of his pitches, and the first one was a changeup. And he's thrown the changeup about close to 20% of the time the last 3 starts. And it was such a nasty changeup, and Judge swings and misses, that he then blew the 97 by him. Judge was late on it, and then he tied him up with an inside slider. It was 3 consecutive pitches to make one of the best hitters in the planet look overmatched. I mean, that just that sequence alone, you're going, man, if he can just bottle this, you know, what do we have here? It was pretty special. And, you know, so it's a couple of good outings in a row. And if he can just keep those mechanics in line, you hope that that midseason lull will just be a thing of the past, and he can finish very strongly here in the second half of the season.
Jags, oftentimes a dropping release point is a sign of fatigue as the year goes on. Did they think that was part of it, or was it more mechanical that he just got out of whack?
Well, I mean, it's probably a combination of both. I mean, I think they're hoping it was just mechanical, but that's it stands to reason. I mean, he did pitch basically a full season last year, but, you know, again, you know, second full season in the big leagues, that could have happened. You know, they tried to give him a little bit of a respite in and around the All-Star break, pushing his first start out of the break back a few days. But I think that could be a factor. But, you know, apparently now he's caught his second wind. He's fixed the mechanical issue. And now we're hoping for a strong month of September.
Jags, where's Kate Cavalli? What's going on there?
Well, Davey Martinez said that he's down in Florida. I mean, he was with the team for a while.
Right.
He's down in Florida playing catch out to 125 feet. So now you're looking at, you know, today is August 30th. The regular season ends September 29th. I mean, to me, the longer it goes before you see Cavalli on a mound, the less likely it is you'll see him on a big league mound this year. I think the hope would be at some point maybe he could pitch in a few rehab games. I don't know if you could stretch that into instructional league or the Arizona Fall League or something. But, you know, the more days that go by, the longer a shot it is that he's going to be on the mound for the Nationals this year. But Davey Martinez's latest update is that he is playing catch and trying to progress.
Basically two lost seasons from the TJ then.
It's a bummer.
Because obviously he got hurt in the spring last year, so he didn't pitch all of last year. This was his comeback season. He was supposed to have been ready. You know, 12 months was right around opening day, but then give him a little time to rehab and maybe the second half of the season. And they have been very careful with how they worded it. They've said he didn't have a setback. They said he wasn't re-injured. I don't know what to believe. I mean, they often don't give us a whole lot of information on injuries, but something doesn't add up there. I mean, you don't just miss 2 years with Tommy John typically.
Well, the problem is going forward now, and assuming that he doesn't get a whole lot of innings, you know, be it on a rehab. I mean, he had a few innings on his rehab assignment earlier. You know, you go into next season, and you're going to be probably looking at an innings limit. You're not going to go from zero to 170 next year. So it just you're hoping this year that he was able to build up a body of work that would make him, you know, more potential to be a six-month starter next year, and it's hard to imagine that's the case with basically two lost years.
Jags, thank you as always. Have a great call tonight.
Yeah, looking forward to it. The Cubs are hot. Hopefully the Nationals can keep it rolling.
6:15 pregame, 6:45 game time on the Fan for Charlie and Dave. Thanks, Jags.
You got it.
See you, brother. Hit that NFL sounder, please. We bring on Darris Dameron, a.k.a. Dad, a.k.a. Christian Darrisaw, fresh off his enormous contract extension.
A.k.a. Father Darris.
Father Darris. Talk some NFL, but why is Darris talking NFL, you ask? Darris.
Well, because I'm an NFL expert, of course. No, that would not be the case. Instead, we are just letting everyone know that we are doing the final scoring for the Grant and Danny Listener League, Fantasy League, trivia contest.
Ooh, see, I think this is the right way to do it. Papa's got a good idea here.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to not talk about the NFL, but rather the Grant and Danny Fantasy Football League in this here NFL portion of the Beltway Blitz. So where are we, by the way, in the scoring? We had this quiz. People were able to sign up if they wanted to. Well, what's going on?
So we had over 110 entries, which was much appreciated. We are winding down to the final scores on most of these submissions. There were some that were very unserious, which I think was funny. There's a lot of people that did some funny bits.
Sure, some shtick was in there.
There were a lot who did extremely well.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is going to be fun to see who's going to finally make it into the league. Those 10 spots, you're going to join us on Tuesday at Highline in Crystal City. So that's going to be fun.
I will also say I saw several of the responses, you know, just kind of peering over the shoulder and looking. I caught a lot of shrapnel in these responses. It couldn't just be, you know, one of the answers, and it was like, Danny's just doing this blank stupid thing because he's stupid and fat and dumb and no one likes him. It's like, whoa, all right. But it was pretty aggressive. You came out fine. I caught a lot of guff, I would say.
Tuesday night, Highline R&R is where we're going to be holding the draft. So if you get into the league, we're going to announce the folks that got into our Grant and Danny Fantasy Football Listener League on the show today, and then we'll reach out to each of them. We have their contact info. But if you don't get into the league, that is okay. You could still come to the draft. Hang out with us. Enjoy yourself. It's going to be a really fun time. And we're just going to be eating, drinking, and talking about football all night on Tuesday.
And let's announce those winners at 5:45. How do we feel about that?
I am okay with that.
I agree to your terms.
I'm in on that. Give us a sampling of a couple of the questions really quickly. What kind of things were being asked on this quiz of our listeners?
So, of course, the first question was, what year did the show begin?
Okay.
You guys know the answer
to
that, of
course. We just celebrated 10 years.
That's right.
Start of the year, so 2014.
That'll be correct.
That was an easy one, I think.
It's an easy one. We then asked, what high schools did Grant Paulson and Danny Ruye attend?
Well, Danny Ruye, the pride of St. Albans High School, and the George Washington University. A George Mason guy myself, that's King George High School.
That's King George High School.
We also ask, what recurring segment stars producer Clary? Now, he has a couple of segments, but there's one in particular that everyone
There's one that he's known for. And one person I saw said, does Ryan know it? And that's fun, too. We've done that one for a game here and there, but
that's
not
really his staple.
That's not it. This all began, one of the great segments in human history, all began when he had actually seen a television show and was asked to describe it and struggled to do so. We said we got to have him describe and explain more stuff. So Ryan explains it all.
Quizzes have been graded or in the process of being graded in their totality, and we will get the responses to you later on in the show here on Grant and Danny. So very excited that the Fantasy Football League is taking shape in 2024. We will see many of you out at Highline R&R in Crystal City on Tuesday evening this coming week, 2 days ahead of the kickoff of the NFL season. But let's keep the blitz moving, talk a little college sports with the brand new associate VP and director of athletics.
Yes.
Speaking of George Washington University, Danny, of your college programs, Michael Lipitz joins us.
Michael.
Congratulations. Welcome to D.C. How are you, Michael?
Thank you, guys. Grant, Danny, it's good to be with you. And excited to return home to D.C. Great first couple of weeks on campus.
Absolutely. Congratulations, first of all. Second of all, it's not that long ago. I know none of the young people are aware of it, but Michael, when I was in high school, when I was there at the George Washington University, this was a top 25 basketball program that made some noise, that was, you know, unique, had players and beat UMass, number one in the country a couple straight years, Marcus Camby and John Calipari and company. How do we get back there? What's your vision?
Yeah, I mean, that's what's got me so excited. There's so many programs that hope to get there. GW's done it, right? We have that tradition. Championship basketball is very much in our DNA. We got 29 combined NCAA tournament appearances between our men's and women's programs. So I saw some of that. I went to University of Maryland up the road and saw some of that firsthand in those years. And we play championship basketball at GW. So it's a new landscape. We all know that in terms of NIL next year, revenue sharing coming online. We need to fully participate in those opportunities so that our coaches are positioned to recruit the talent to GW that can take us back to championship basketball. We want to play in March. That's the goal. We don't shy away from those expectations, but that's why I'm excited to be here, is to work with Chris Caputo on the men's side, Carolyn McCombs on the women's side. We've got two great, talented coaches that that can get this done.
Michael, I'm curious. You talked about recruiting and getting athletes there. Whether it's, you know, my buddy Greg Ritchie, who's the baseball coach the last several years there, Caputo, or where I went at Mason with Tony Skin. One of the things I find so difficult now as a college sports fan is it feels like if you're a fan of programs at the level of GW or Mason or something like that, that it getting the player there is cool, but they're leaving as soon as they break out and they get really, really good. It's like you have to re-recruit your own players, and it just seems really frustrating at this point. Like, what is the future of programs that aren't all of the tops in America at this point in this new landscape?
Yeah, it's a new day. There's no question. At the same time, I think everybody is facing that challenge. I mean, you look at whether it's a power program, a mid-major, a low major, I mean, roster turnover is real, right? So I know it's different. It feels different for everybody, but the reality is everybody's in the same boat. And so we have to do what works for GW. So first get the right talent on a roster. And then, yeah, you got to retain a core from year to year so that you can have that continuity and advance from year to year. But that's the same challenge that everybody faces. So, you know, I said at my press conference earlier this week, for those GW fans, alumni, donors that haven't been engaged and haven't been participating, this is the moment, right? We need everybody. It takes the whole GW community to support this program. to provide the resources that we need to be able to get the best talent and retain the best talent. It's time for our folks to, you know, get off the bench, get in the game, and we're ready to go.
Michael, it's such a unique experience going to school there. Obviously, I know that firsthand because I did. But it's, for some, a city school is a non-starter. For others, you know, that location is such an appeal thing, and you know, it's such an interesting thing to try to recruit and to try to, as you said, find the right fits for so many different kids. What do you think the biggest challenge is? Kind of non-new landscape division. What's the biggest challenge for GW to get athletically where it wants to go?
I don't see it as challenges. I mean, I think what we're selling as GW, and we've got a phenomenal academic reputation, right? It's a great degree to position you for a lifetime of success. I think that's the starting point. And then from an athletic standpoint, I go back to, again, we've got the tradition. We've got the history. And if you haven't been in the Smith Center, for those that haven't been to a game,
it's awesome.
Of late, I mean, it's a great environment, right? 5,000 seats. The staff has done such a good job. The university's done such a good job making it a home court advantage for us. We've got, you know, 25,000 students, most of whom are right there on campus to turn out and make it a great home court advantage. And that's our focus, is let's leverage all of that to build the kind of program. Again, we've done it before. We can do it again. And that's why I'm excited to be here.
Michael Lipitz is with us, new AD at the George Washington University. I have a little stake in this. It's my alma mater, and we're obviously rooting for your success. Michael, I will tell you that a long time ago, now so much has changed since then, but we at the athletic department did not feel the support from university presidents and the academic side and kind of the university side. I don't say we were pariahs. That's probably too far, but it sort of felt like there was a disconnect. I don't get the sense that's the case anymore. I'd love for you to go into that and kind of talk about the symmetry and maybe even the support that you got from the main university.
Yeah. I mean, you're hitting it on the head. I mean, alignment matters, right, on a college campus. And President Granberg understands the value that athletics can bring, not just, you know, for its own purpose in terms of developing student athletes, developing young people. But we've seen this, and, you know, back to the Mason example, right? Right down the road, when you go to the Final Four, it elevates the entire university. So we've seen it in the past at GW. President Granberg understands that, is very supportive. That's what has me so excited about what the future potential for GW to play deep into March is, because we have that alignment, we have that support. Everybody's pulling in the same direction.
Great having you on the show and meeting you. Thanks so much, and best of luck to you over at Foggy Bottom.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Come out to some games this year. Look forward to seeing you.
Thank you, Michael.
Hope to come check you out. That'd be fun. The brand new athletic director over at the George Washington University. Nice little weekend shaping up for the college locals, by the way. Maryland football, a noon kickoff at home over at College Park against UConn tomorrow. They are clearly heavy favorites in that game. And then you've got a big game for Virginia Tech. They're supposed to be pretty good. They are returning a ton of last year's talent. Almost all of their starters on offense and defense for Brent Pry, one of the few teams in America that can say that after the transfer portal just pillaged a lot of programs that weren't, you know, in the SEC or the Big Ten. I mean, Pry's got something going, and the guys are buying in. They're playing against Vanderbilt tomorrow. There's a real chance they start 4-0, 5-0.
There's a tiny little bit of buzz.
There is.
A couple bumblebees floating around there a little bit. I like it.
They'd have a legit shot in the ACC if they get off to a fast start. You can hear that game tomorrow afternoon right here on The Fan.
Love it.
Should be a decent little weekend in the local college sports scene.
A little football appetizer, right, to get you ready for the next week, which is sort of the deluge, right? That's the open up the dams, and now we go.
Adam Peters feels really good about Cliff Kingsbury. What he's seen so far in terms of the offensive plan, the tempo that they're operating with. I want to get into that next on Grant and Danny.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Programming note, the Virginia Tech Hokies will be on 99.1 tomorrow.
Ah, yes.
They will not be on 106.7 The Fan because we got Nats baseball, matinee style, right here on the flagship home for the Nats and the Caps. This show is brought to you every day by the law firm Condori and Murad. They guide you and your family in the right direction. They help you to draft a will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them the G&D sent you to get a discount, kmlawyers.com. I want to get into what Adam Peters said about Cliff Kingsbury in just a moment. But Danny, I wanted you to know you might have a little company in the studio.
What?
Yeah, there's someone with a bit of a Danny Ruye tendency here.
Uh-oh.
For the second time in as many months, Ryan Clary has come back to the studio with 3 chocolate chip cookies. Because that's generally the order. That's the batch. When we go to Cornucopia to get our subs, you get cookies, they give you 3.
Yeah, that's the serving, yeah.
When he today, I don't know where he got them from. Probably Subway, it looked like.
Yeah, it was Subway.
They're in the little paper sleeve.
Oh, yeah.
I know a paper sleeve of Subway cookies when I see it.
I was going to say, you recognize that anywhere.
I think if you could, you could crunch the paper up and I could tell by sound.
Well, you know the thing that's going around where people taste Diet Cokes from various places or they taste milk from certain places?
Yeah.
You could do that, I think.
It's very possible. Especially, I know I would pull a McDonald's Coke or Diet Coke. 1,000%. I think I could tell you the difference between that and Wendy's. We should actually do it on the show. That would be a fun little experiment. Because the way that I've seen it, I don't know if you're talking about the same thing. You, like, sit behind what is a box that's open.
And the open face is to us in the camera.
Exactly. So everyone can see the different drinks, and then you're guessing what you're drinking. Yeah, we should do something like that. I think that'd be fun. But old Clary over there today brought back 3 chocolate chip cookies.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to rewind to 2 months ago when he came back with these cookies from Cornucopia on a day where I think they either only had one pack or whatever reason, I didn't get cookies or something. And I just said to him, I said, would you mind if I had half a cookie? And he made this really weird face, like big, I'm nervous, my face is red, I have anxiety about this interaction. And then it was like, he's always like half in the middle of a bite, and he like acts like he's chewing and puts his finger up and stalls for a while.
Yeah, like, I got to think of a way.
It's like so weird. And then he's like,
I've done that, yeah.
And then it's this long pause, and he's like, I guess, like a high-pitched answer.
Because he doesn't want you to have any of it at all.
And it's 100% clear.
Yep.
I now feel terrible for asking.
There you go.
You've made me feel awful.
That's
so,
it.
No problem. So this was a long while back.
Okay.
And he was more that day almost saying no, if I remember. But like then he came around, and he's like, if you want, you can have it. And it's like, dude, the damage is done.
Right.
Like, there's no chance. It's like asking someone to borrow a dollar. And you're like, really? You're going to take my money? I don't have that much money. You want a dollar from me? And then you're like, you know what? Take it. Take it. And you're
so, like, no. Or another one would be like, hey, Grant, what are you doing Sunday? And you're like, nothing. Want to help me move? Yeah. What time? I could do that. Oh, I just remembered I have something else, anything.
So what happened today, Clary? Tell Danny what happened.
So what happened today was exactly that. I come back with 3 chocolate chip cookies mm-hmm. from what I got from Subway, and Grant's like, hey, like, can I have half of it? And I'm, again, mid-bite, and I'm just kind of sitting there like, awkwardly, like, trying to figure out a way to say no. Because I won't say no. I feel like that's mean.
Well, but you say no say with yes. your actions.
I say no with the
You say
actions.
No with your body language yeah. and the, yeah.
Let me be clear.
There you go.
Let me be clear. I need to make something very, very, very clear right now. I never asked him for the cookie that he's eating. He has 3 of them.
Okay.
More than any one person needs. He has a cookie that has not been touched still in the sleeve. And both times I said, hey, you care if I have a little piece of that cookie? Now, having said that, I'm being introspective on the back end. I'll never ask again, and I probably should have never asked. It's probably a bad look. The difference is, if someone asked me when I had 3 chocolate chip cookies, if they could have half a cookie, that's an easy yes every time.
Okay.
I don't need all 3 of them. I want all 3 of them, but I would not ask him for a piece of his sub. You get the difference?
Of course I do, yeah.
He just had a kava bowl. I'm not going to ask him for a bite of his kava or, hey, would you mind scooping a little bit of your salad bowl out and putting it on a plate? But I view, and this is where apparently I'm wrong, I view this 3 cookie situation as, you wanted a cookie. You wanted a taste. They gave you 3. You're going to eat them because you got them, but you don't need 3 cookies. For him, it's very obvious these 3 cookies are part of the day. They are part of the plan.
He left here in search of those 3 cookies. He didn't just get a cookie and they gave him 2 bonus cookies where he's like, I don't really want it. Now, if he approaches it with, hey, I just want one. These other 2 are up for grabs. Different conversation.
But I expect this kind of behavior from you.
That's right.
This kind of selfish no that I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
With all due respect, Danny.
Sure.
I expect that from you.
Yeah.
After 10 years of working with
rightfully
you.
So. You should expect it.
With Clary, a happy-go-lucky, warm, jovial, fun.
Thin,
skinny,
yeah.
food-hating, cookie-despising, carbon sugar.
Avoiding.
Allergic, right? I thought, what are the chances? Old skinny old him's going to tell big old me, no, you don't need a half cookie, Tubbo. But he looked right at me, and those are the words he said.
That's what his body said.
Not verbally, but he literally, like, and he does this weird smile and the whole thing. It's so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It is a screeching car on the highway. I mean, it is just so uncomfortable.
So what I've always done is ever since LeVar Arrington demanded a fry and I said no to him, and he could have taken my life in an instant. Had he decided that's it for Danny Ruye, that would have been it. If he, like, now he's a nice person, he would never do that, but like he could have, and he made it very clear at that time. Since then, my public stance on I don't share food unless I'm done, and then we can have any conversation you want, has been I lean into the fact that it's mine. It's selfish. 100% it is. I lean in. That's what it is. It's my meal. This is my selfish meal. I got what I wanted because I'm great at ordering what I want. What I've always advocated for is, why is the asker? Why isn't that viewed as selfish? Why does that get away scot-free? The onus is on the person with the thing that they want.
I agree with you.
It's selfish. What's more selfish than saying, I want that? And now you're rude if you say no. Now you're rude if you go, oh maybe, because you're put in an awkward spot. Don't put me in an awkward spot. Go get your own.
So a couple of things. Mm-hmm. I think there's some truth to that. I'm not going to 100% sign off on what you're saying because it's obviously a little bit over the top and egregious. Having said that, I think you're right. And and again, I'm being introspective and thinking about it. Like, that's a bad ask. To ask for somebody's food in general is just dumb. And it was honestly very reactionary. I had not premeditated it. I didn't walk in there thinking I wanted
a
cookie.
I'm sure you smelled the smell. I want a cookie too?
I was standing next to him. He's munching on a cookie. I see there's still 2 in the sleeve or whatever.
Yep.
And it was kind of like, I haven't had it. This was my thought process, literally. I haven't had a Subway cookie in years. I love Subway cookies.
They're so good.
And just without thinking, I said, hey, can I have half of one of those? And had he have just been like, oh, yeah, no problem, I would have eaten half, walked out, never thought of it again.
Mm-hmm.
But because he slapped my hand away, kicked me in the shin, and told me I'm a jackass, then I had to get introspective a little bit, and I realized that wasn't a great look to ask for somebody else's cookie. But do you understand the difference in the three cookie thing that I'm talking about and other food, or is it just black and white?
So I don't make any discernments, but I see how one could.
So the example I'll give you is, in a world where normally when we have cookies, we get it with our sub and our lunch, yep. Okay? So if someone asked me for my sub, I think
that's a single unit.
Yeah, like or just like, can I have a bite of that? I don't do bites. I don't bite after my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I don't bite after my kids. I'm grossed out by the whole thing. I would never do that. But I would consider, if someone had never had cornucopia or something and they really wanted to try it, I would consider grabbing a little plastic knife and like cutting you a sliver of the sandwich. I would consider that.
Okay.
Especially if it's a decent sized sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that's a strange ask.
Yes.
To me, that's a bridge too far. To the three cookie thing, it, not even a little bit.
So, this is where you and I, again, so for me, I'll even go one step further. I've had an incident previously with one of the big bosses here where he wanted a fry. And you go, well, that's one individual fry. That's part of a larger whole. Like, you're taking the cookie example to the nth degree. 3 units of cookie versus, what, I don't know, 112 units of a French fry? Like, how many French fries are in a regular-sized container? I don't know.
Sure.
60, 70, 80, whatever.
But for me, I just need to get this off my chest.
Okay.
I would never ask for a fry. I would never ask for part of a sandwich. To me, like, I don't know what the demarcation is.
Interesting.
Cookie is different. I can't explain it. I don't know if because
you've lost me then, because I'm thinking, because the way some people could think of it is, okay, a bite of a sandwich, that's one unit of sandwich. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, you're eating X percent of the sub.
One unit of fry is a single fry, and you could spare that. It's a much smaller size. To me, the fries are the unit.
I wonder if I'm thinking about it as if the meal is the meal.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me for my meal.
Yep.
But the cookies are an add-on dessert. Like, in my mental, when we get cookies, in my mind, I'm always going, I don't need the cookies, but I'd like a taste of a chocolate chip cookie. And more often than not, I don't eat almost every time, I don't eat all three.
You don't eat all three?
No, I would eat one or two max, and then I'll have one sitting in front of me, and I'll either toss it, if Darius wants it, or I'll give it to Toby, or, mm-hmm. Whoever's around.
Sure, sure, sure.
Or I'll just take it home.
Right.
And I'll probably eat it on the way home when I'm in traffic. It doesn't get back to the house. But I don't need it in one sitting. And maybe that's my thought is...
I see.
In my mind, I'm going, well, Clary already had his lunch. He had his kava, right? He already had his taste of cookie. He didn't get three cookies to eat all three of them right now. He got them because he wanted some cookie. And if someone else was around, they could have some cookie, too.
We all struggle to get outside of our own thought process and see it from walk a mile in someone else's shoes.
Exactly. I'm thinking of it the way I treat those cookies.
Mm-hmm.
I get those three cookies going... I'm going to eat one of these, maybe two of these, and the other one, we'll see what happens to it. And I'm thinking he's thinking the same thing, and he clearly isn't.
I think over my lifetime, and I mean this, you could probably count on one hand the number of times I have acquired my foodstuffs, aka this is what I want, and not wanted every ounce of it. You follow me? So in other words, like, That three cookies is included in my total.
Right, but I do, in fairness, you're a maniac.
Right.
And I think you need to take how you do things out of this equation.
No, but I think it's essential because that's what you're struggling with here. This is how you do it.
A lot of people maybe, like when Clary went and got his cookies or whatever it is, he plans on eating everything he has.
Yes.
The other thing is, and I didn't think about this in real time, he does this thing where he starves himself for 2 days at a time and then he'll eat a big meal and then he'll eat like next Thursday.
And it's 11 a.m. He's like, this is dinner. And then you guys argue about whether it's dinner or not. And
so
he's
annoying,
like, the definition according to Webster's.
Yeah. So you probably, with a hungry person who does this weird.
You're hangry.
I'll eat a meal now and then I won't eat for 5 days. And then I'll eat
my
again.
My car got towed and
but
then I was
I'm
on the treadmill.
I'm allowed to eat in November, but not in December like all this other crap he's doing. Then I hibernate and then I'm going to sleep standing up and sleep in my hyperbaric chamber.
Mm-hmm.
I probably need to just steer clear of Clary. Is the other thing I'm trying to figure out here. With food.
With food.
Because I never know what, like, is today
a day what phase are we in?
If he doesn't eat that cookie, he's got to live off of what he's eating today until September 9th.
So you're like one day he's like, hey, do you guys want lunch? We're like, great, okay, we can talk about it, whether I do or not, that's fine. And then I'm like, then another day, like, hey, does anyone want lunch? And he writes back, like, I hope you choke on that lunch. I'll never eat again.
Must
I'm in a different
nice
phase.
Must be able to eat lunch.
You're like, whoa, what? I'm sorry. I thought sometimes we're the trust tree with the nest.
So this is actually kind of something that Today was a different story, though, because number one, it was a bad day for me. Just bad morning. My car got towed last night. Mm. I was in a terrible mood.
So they were comfort cookies.
It was a comfort cookie.
I've like eaten my feelings.
I went and I got coffee, and I was just walking by that Subway, and I was like, you know what? Subway cookies, they never fail me. I'm going to go get a Subway cookie.
Now, I'm not suggesting you should have done this.
Of course.
This is going to sound like I'm being a jerk, and I promise I don't mean this. Was there any thought to, hey, I know a guy who loves cookies more than anyone I know. Maybe I'll get him a cookie. Was there any thought to that?
You know what? You're right. I probably should have hit up the group chat and been like, Grant, do you want a cookie?
Darris. One of the two hosts of this show looks out for his guys when he goes and grabs food.
He does.
His name doesn't rhyme with Schmanny, okay? But, you know. One of us is like the Washington Post. He eats in darkness. Mm-hmm. The other one, we do things as a group around here.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That is fair. And I will say, I probably should have done that. But what I mean, it was a last second, you just audibled.
Got to the mic.
I walked right by it. I was like, you know what? And all of a sudden, I'm in the Subway entrance. I see the cookies there. Let me get three cookies. It was in segment. I didn't want to bother the show. It's part of my job.
Understood.
So if I did that, I would have kind of thrown away the segment there. Didn't want to do that. So I think I was thinking for the show.
Understood.
In that moment.
Darris, where are you at on all of this?
That last part was a little bit of BS, but we'll move past that.
In fact, I was thinking unselfishly.
It was.
I was thinking about everyone.
First time he's ever put the show on such a pedestal. Yeah. I can't text these guys. What if they see it during the big segment?
The integrity of the 4:30 segment.
Yeah. I also would like to add, I think Darris is with me. I think you would give a guy a cookie.
Yeah, I would share. I was
like if you had three cookies,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting because we're the two bigger fellas.
Interesting,
and,
yeah, right.
Right. Isn't that fascinating?
It is.
The skinny guy and the pretty skinny guy are both like, lay off me, I'm starving.
Yeah.
And me and you, who are out of breath coming up the steps from the parking lot, we're like, who needs a cookie? Got him over here.
I'm sharing. Interesting.
How is that? What does that mean?
I don't know how that works. It's a weird dynamic. But yeah, I would totally share it. Three cookies.
But if you're in Ryan's situation where you go, I'm leaving to go get three cookies, you're just going to give one of those away? Like if you wanted, I'm not saying if you wanted the Grant taste paradigm is different than I want that serving, that unit, that three cookie situation in that plastic or the paper sleeve from Subway. You would just go, hey, here's one.
One is tough, but a half. Yeah, easily. I would give up a half, which is what Grant asked for.
That's 15% of your cookie supply.
I just thought of something, too. I think the number matters. I was actually just thinking about this. It's not a dessert thing. If you went somewhere like that bakery down the street and you got one of those giant cookies and you had one of them, I don't think I'd ask for a rip. I don't think I'd say, hey, let me get a chunk of that cookie. I mean, again, I don't know why my own brain, it's weird, that three cookie thing.
Interesting.
You don't need three, do you? You know, but then who am I to judge how many you need? That makes me the bad guy again.
Can we get one of those big cookies?
Anyway, who wants to go get some cookies? How do we feel about that?
Actually, pretty good.
There's a bunch of chocolate chip
I feel so good.
Go over to like, what's the, we don't have a Wegmans. What's the thing down the street?
Harris Teeter? Yeah.
Get one of those big giant buckets of the bite-sized cookies.
Well, those are good.
That'd be pretty good.
We do got to get to Adam Peters on cookies.
Adam Peters on cookies.
We can talk more cookies.
We should have asked him about cookies. He's probably never
heard
of them.
He's like, I don't eat them. I'm handsome.
Cookie? What is that? Do you agree with him on Cliff Kingsbury's offense? We'll get to that next on G&D. With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Going back last night and listening to the Adam Peters interview, he was great. 25 minutes right here on G&D. If you missed the interview, you should podcast it at thefandc.com. One thing that neither of us called attention to on the back end and we didn't really address after the fact that was some pretty good content was him talking about their offensive expectations. You asked him, I think, what does he feel best about? Like, what is he really excited about this season? And he went to their offense, not their defense, which I thought was telling, number one. Number two, he went to the tempo with which they've operated. And basically,
you've seen that already, right?
The Cliff Kingsbury philosophy that he believes in. But this was Peters yesterday on G&D.
I couldn't be more excited. I can't believe it. It just felt like the blink of an eye that we're here now, and just laughing at it on the field with a couple of coaches, how soon we got there and how soon we'll be in Tampa. So I think I'm the most excited, but I think our fans should really, really be excited about this next week and what's to come with this team. And that kind of leads me into my answer. I think I'm really excited about everything. I'm really excited about our offense with Cliff and the way he runs it and the guys that are executing it. It's going to be a really fun offense to watch. It's going to be a fast offense, and it's going to put defenses in a bind with what we do. And then defensively, I really love, you know, how fast and physical the guys are playing, the mindset of the guys and the leadership on that side of the ball too. So honestly, just really excited about how we play and how we're going to play and the style of how we play. And so I don't want to get too much into specifics on certain areas, but I just can tell you that, you know, I'm not exaggerating when I say how excited I am about everything.
I don't want to overdo it, but I think when you ask an open-ended question, the first item listed oftentimes is pretty revealing. Fair?
Yes.
You say, hey, what are you most excited about? He named a couple of things. He went on to say something on both sides of the ball. Cliff Kingsbury was the first name out of his mouth. The offense he's running, the style of play, the way he runs this scheme, how fast we're operating, the fact that we're putting defenses in a bind. Adam Peters thinks, number one, Kingsbury's had a really good summer. He seems fired up about the way he's running the offense and how fast they're going to operate. I think that's going to be a big departure from last year and teams in the past here, by the way, is there's going to be a lot of tempo. They're going to no huddle a lot, in my opinion. And I think Peters seems to like that. But also, this puts defenses in a bind idea. He's suggesting schematically we're going to be multiple enough. We're going to be surprising enough that defenses aren't really going to know what to do. That feels like 2012 when they had Robert Griffin ready to debut and a young hotshot coordinator in Kyle Shanahan, and they came out against New Orleans and they ran something nobody knew was coming. Kind of gives you that vibe of
that's exactly what
he's excited, and he's like, I don't want to get into the specifics, but I don't know if you heard the same thing, but when I was listening back last night, that's where I went.
Because, so I'm trying to do you're parsing things up and trying to take puzzle pieces out to sort of figure out what the picture is, right? And if this was we went and got unbelievable weaponry, we traded back into the first round and grabbed a left tackle and then traded for Keenan Allen, or then, you know, added, I don't know, Ladd McConkey in round number two, which they could have done just given where they were picking. But you know what I mean? If they'd gone all in and really, really gone after this thing, and then he said, I can't wait to see this offense, I'd go, oh, okay, yeah, high flying. Well, their personnel doesn't jive with that. So we must be talking more schematically, putting defenses in a bind because they can't substitute on the fly. Everything's going fast. You've already seen that in the preseason a couple different times. They tip their hand in that regard, and it'll probably get faster during the regular season. So you can't stop us because you can't check any of these guys. This is more scheme and design and tempo and pace to run what we want to run over an individual player being a matchup nightmare. You know what I mean? Like, if you've got Waddle and Tyreek Hill, a lot of people are going to look real smart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you don't have that here. But what you got is maybe the other stuff that I was just talking about.
Yeah, I mean, said differently, if you got the Billies and the Joes, you just line up and play football and do what you want. But when you don't, and they don't really, then X's and O's are going to matter more. And you're going to have to get a little more creative and a little more cute and a little more exotic. You're going to have to trick some people.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to pull some rabbits out of your hat. And I think, at least in listening to Adam Peters there, I think tempo is the way they're going to try to do that. I think going no huddle and keeping, you know, a formation, a collection, a package of players on the field for a defense that doesn't match up well is probably going to be the plan. Let's get them to send, you know, their big bodies out there, and then let's split Sinnott and Ertz out wide and be able to spread you out and ask them to cover us and see how those linebackers hold up. And then we'll go no huddle, and they're not going to leave the field. That's one way to do it. But I just wonder if there's something we haven't seen that they got brewing too, a la 2012 with the pistol and read option, mm-hmm. which is now ubiquitous, and yep. We saw that in the preseason. But maybe there's a layer. Maybe Kingsbury's been sitting in the lab wearing a white jacket, mixing potions with some lab glasses on, and they unveil that at an NFC South team in week one, just like the 12 Redskins.
Borrowing from a little bit of Greg Roman, where there's three guys in the backfield and kind of that like diamond or pyramid shape with one of them being a tight end, two of them are running backs. Maybe it's splitting certain guys out wide. Maybe it's an aggressive amount of motion, which is not something he's known for. Who knows?
One of the massive stories in sports right now, Danny, is the changing landscape in college football. And this weekend is the first major weekend of college rock, not only in the area locally, but all over the country. There's an excellent book that dropped that I've been reading from Armin Katayan. He's a co-author on how much college football has changed and where we're heading in the future. I want to talk about whether or not the sport is better than it used to be. And I want to talk with you about this idea of how teams can succeed in this era of college football. But let's talk to Armin Katayan first. That's next right here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.